Amen. Treasures in heaven. Scripture could not be any clearer and terrifying as what Fred's just read for us there. One of the darkest delusions that a human can buy into is this, and from since the beginning of time, I can do what I want, what is morally wrong, and it won't make a difference. That somehow the world is free of cause and effect. There aren't any consequences for my behavior. And if you're here today, I am presuming that you believe that you've been born into a distinctively moral world ruled by a righteous and holy God. You believe that? If you didn't believe that, I don't think any of us would be here today. So it's serious stuff this morning. Because there are moments when we buy into the delusion. There are moments when we actually come to think we can do what we want, say what we want, and it won't make any difference whatsoever. Now, I've been a pastor for a long time, and I've sat with couples, as is Pastor Debbie, I've sat with couples who are so angry with each other. The things those couples would say to each other would break your heart. Would break your heart wide open. And yet I know there was a time when they loved to be in one another's company. There was no one else they'd rather spend time with. And now they don't want to be in the same place or invade the same space. And they've got there because of the wee moments of life. They have told themselves they could do what is wrong and it wouldn't hurt or affect their marriage. Moments when they have thought, I can shout at my husband or wife and it's okay. I can lie about the household finances and it's okay. I can eat more calories than a human needs and it will be okay. I can turn another person into my personal idol, and it will be okay. I can spend hours on the internet and look at things I should not look at, and it will be okay. I can stay at home from church whenever I don't feel like going, and it will be okay because church is no longer a commitment, it's become an option. It fits into my schedule now, my needs, my wants. And somehow in those little catalogue of life moments, there are places where we have become tempted to buy into the illusion that the life we are living does not have consequences. You see, now listen to me, you see that delusion is actually the product of something even deeper and something even more profound. And that every single one of us in many situations, we want to keep ownership over our lives. Is that right? Yes, we do. We all want still to be our own bosses. We all want to write our own rules. We all want to believe that our freedom, our independence, our pleasure, our comfort, our satisfaction, our power, we've come to believe that in and of itself is the most important thing. So hear me today. If sometime, let me use it this way, if sometime in the last couple of weeks, we have said something nasty to a member of our family, We haven't done that because we're ignorant to God's call. We've done that because in that moment, we didn't think about God's call because what we wanted, and at that moment, we have ascended to the very throne of God and said, hey, I will do what I want to do because that's exactly what I want to do. And we've spoke it out. It's a dark and dangerous thing. And the fact of the matter is, sin isn't somehow first the breaking of some abstract set of laws. It's not. Sin is first the breaking of a relationship with God. That's why when the Ten Commandments, those first commands have to do with the relationship with God, worship of God, because it's only when God is in His rightful place that everything else will be in its rightful place. You see, I can stand here and I can ignore the fact that I was created for God. I can defy that and it will be okay. It'll never be okay. And no level will it be okay. Scripture is incredibly clear about the issues of consequences. When you go home today, read Psalm 115. There's only 18 verses. It tells us that we become like the idols we serve. Whoa. We become like the idols we serve. That's consequences. You can't at any time, any level, you can't mess with idols without being affected, without being changed. You actually begin to take the shape, the moral form of that idol. And that's something that's a great warning for you and I today. We become who or what we idolize. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 7, God is not mocked. What you plant, you will harvest, or what you sow, you will reap. Think about that dynamic. Every day, I'm harvesting seeds I previously planted. Every day. Every day, I'm planting seeds that I will someday harvest. Wow. Now the problem, hallelujah, the problem is that we have become incredibly skilled at denying our own harvest. Are you hearing this? But the Bible is clear in its teaching that humanity is marching towards an inescapable moment of judgment. Oh Lord. The Bible makes it clear that if we live a life of unrepentant spiritual adultery, denying God's existence, breaking God's commands, rejecting His grace, you and I will spend an eternity in the torment of hell. I know this is no longer a popular teaching. It's no longer a popular sermon, I understand that. But I cannot stand before my church, I cannot stand here and preach on the treasures of heaven without warning people about the reality of hell. Can't do it. I would be misrepresenting the God that I serve and misrepresenting His church. I'd be doing God a disservice if we don't preach these messages. People are saying today, the days of fire and brimstone teaching are over. They might well be. This is just simply biblical truth. Call it what you want. Dress it up. Say it what you want. It's just biblical truth. That's all this is today. The reason. So let me qualify this a little bit. The reason these two teachings have become uncomfortable and have become unpopular in this day and age, and have often, for some reason, become a source of debate, even though they are clear in Scripture. I'll tell you why. It's because we no longer, God forgive us, we no longer take the holiness, listen to me, we no longer take the holiness of God or the sinfulness of sin seriously. God help us. And if we would meditate on the absolute perfection of God and God's holiness, and if we would begin to read what Scripture says about the ugliness of sin, we would have a much different response to these teachings. So Fred read to us today from Matthew 25. And we have these very two clear teachings directly out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Let me tell you something. This has only become confusing to the church because the church is making it confusing. It's not confusing at any level whatsoever. Listen to this. The judgment is precise. The judgment is clear. There are those who have lived a life of disobedience or those who have lived a life of obedience for the glory of God. It's clear. It's clear to every one of us. But there's also in this passage the principle that because we were made for God, everything, and I mean everything here, everything totally is either a rejection of God or loving, gracious, willing service for God. That's the choice. That's why David, having committed adultery and murder, writes in Psalm 51, "Against you, against you and you only have I done this evil." Only you. David here is recognizing the direction of all human behavior, that nothing we do is really passive. Jesus says in Scripture, "As much as we've done it to these, you have done it to me." So every thought and every desire and every word and every action, because we were made for God and we're either living for Him or today we're moving further away from Him and we're turning our backs on Him. In this Scripture, there is no comfortable neutral zone. Look at it. It's black and white. It's day and night. It's crystal clear. There's no comfortable neutral ground to be found whatsoever. Listen, church, it's a moral world ruled by a holy God. That's what we're living in. And so the judgment picture here in Matthew, the judgment picture of the sheep and the goats, is concrete, clear, and specific. It's about specific choices. It's about specific behaviors. It's about specific words. Because today we live in a very specific world of specific locations and specific choices and specific words to specific people. That's how we live. And God in all of that, God rules all of that in His Lordship. And He has actually designed a way for you and I to live in all of this by His laws, His commands, His words, and His guidance. He's made a way for you and I to live in it. And it's not easy. So, why does this matter? Because when Jesus is talking to the sheep and the goats, He's talking to people who are following Him. Are you hearing this? We allow things into our lives. We allow them. We allow things into our hearts. We allow things through our eyes and into our minds that we should never allow. We should never allow, and we think it's okay. And it's not okay. It's not okay. We are living in a world that has completely immunized itself to sin, that it no longer affects us. We still need to learn to turn the television off at times. Basically. My mum wasn't far too wrong, you know, in her approach. I'll tell you a little funny thing, but it's not that funny now. My mother, God bless her, she's not here, kept a dish towel on top of the telly. And every time anything of a sexual orientation appeared on the screen, she dropped the dish towel down in front of the screen. I think now she was probably right, even though I wanted to see that scene. And when I say back in those days, we are talking about Starsky and Hutch and the Professionals, it was only a smooch, but that was enough. She needs a quilt now. Because some of the stuff that we allow to go through the eyes, which we sing are supposed to be holy eyes, to affect our heart, which are supposed to be pure. And I'm not judging or condemning, I'm just saying we've allowed this to happen. We made the choice to let things in that have contaminated the way we live our lives and given us this distorted view of what's pure and right and noble and trustworthy and honourable. It's all warped. Everything is now warped because of sin. I just want to say this because I love you. As the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to be careful. We need to be careful. The Bible is clear. There will be ultimate consequences. The fact that it's a moral world ruled by a holy God means the things that we do say and the things we act out absolutely matter. There is, according to Scripture, such a thing as final judgment. According to Scripture, there is such a thing as a place called heaven, hallelujah. But according to Scripture, there's also a place called hell. And if I'm reading it right, Pastor, it's a horrible place of eternal separation from God. It's a place where there's no way back. This is a separation that is unthinkable in its horror. Unthinkable. Imagine this. Imagine if you can, if it's possible. I don't know if it is. Imagine what would happen if God today was to withdraw. Pull back. Withdraw. Ascend to heaven. Remove his spirit from the earth. Imagine what would happen in this moment. His provident care, remove it from earth. Imagine if you would. You think it's bad now? You think it's bad now? It would be utter chaos. You think anything goes now? That would multiply a thousandfold. The debauchery and immorality would increase at such a rapid scale, we could not live in it. If God were to remove himself, imagine the inhumanity. You think it's bad now? It would increase quickly. Imagine what it would be like if God did. So God was saying, have mercy today. Have mercy on your earth. Our minds can't take in what it would be really like to live in a place where God is absolutely absent. Absent. What horror. What horror would be presented to us moment by moment, day by day, and what it's like to live, what it's like to live in horrible, eternal torment where the fire is never quenched. God help us. The fact that this teaching is so clear in Scripture, I believe, is itself a grace. That is a grace in itself. This is the God of glorious grace who opens the door so we can actually look at the horror of horrors. Why? So that we today can be warned. What a great God. So that we can be warned. So that, yeah, we might be afraid. But so that we would repent on a day-to-day basis. So that we would run to the only place where you and I can find absolute redemption and protection and salvation. That is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. So perhaps it takes for us the whole horrors of hell and all that that means, the separation, for God to drive us to the foot of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's so easy. Listen to me. It's so easy for you and I to be morally asleep, morally self-excusing. And so God in grace puts these things directly in front of us as a warning. Hear me this morning, church. We cannot escape the existence of that final judgment. We cannot escape the biblical teaching that there was a place of eternal separation from God. There was a place of eternal torment. That is the place for those who have lived lives in spiritual adultery, rejecting God's existence, breaking God's commands, denying the grace of God, and then setting themselves up on the throne of their own kingdom. See, for the church, the doctrine of hell should break our hearts. It should break our hearts. The doctrine of hell should make us weep on a day-to-day basis, that there that would ever be one person who would face such a thing. It should crush our very hearts. It should break, listen to this, church, it should break your heart that there are blind and rebellious people who are sitting around today, right now, that are marching their way to a God-separated eternal punishment, eternity. But because we are a believer, are we all believers? Praise God. Scripture says the heart of stone has been taken out of us, amen. And the heart of flesh has been replaced. That means that when we are doing or what we are doing is wrong, our conscience should be pricked. Our conscience should bother us. Has anyone here got a conscience that bothers you from time to time? And when our conscience bothers us, let me tell you something. We only have one of two choices. Baa. Baa. The sheep. The goats. Well done. Well done. The mansion over the hilltop, that's yours. There's one or two family members there already. They've got supper ready for you. Depart from me. Depart from me. I don't know you. Wow. Wow. Because of God's grace, here's the beauty of this. Because of God's grace right now, we either confess that that is wrong and we place ourselves once again on the mercies of Christ and receive his forgiveness. Amen. Or we're going to do this, the goat. We're going to come up with a system of self-justification that makes that wrong acceptable to your conscience. And we have become so skilled at doing this. Paul in the scripture, I'm coming to a close in a minute or two. Paul talks about pretenses that sets himself up against the knowledge of God. A pretense, you know what that is? That's a plausible lie. That's exactly what that is. And so what we do is rather than run when our conscience bothers us towards the grace of Jesus Christ, we work, God help us, we work so hard to build arguments that will make that wrong acceptable to our conscience, that will make that wrong seem less wrong, plausible arguments that make us okay, feel okay about what is categorically not okay. Somebody needs to fight the delusion. See, the scary thing is sin. Listen to this. Again, because we've become so immune to this, some of the sin that we're engaging in doesn't seem like sin to us anymore. When we step way beyond God's boundaries and we no longer feel danger, we don't feel the disaster, the destruction of what we are doing, we feel the buzz of temporary independence and temporary freedom. The scary thing about sin is its deceitfulness, its ability to present itself as something beautiful when it's not beautiful at all. No, sir. See, we struggle in this world with injustice that's everywhere around us, inequality and prejudice and injustice in our world and in our community. It is everywhere around about us, and there should be a cry in the heart of every single believer for justice. When will justice come? So hear this, justice is coming. Justice is coming, and justice will die. Why? Because God is holy. God is holy. So here's my encouragement at the end of that. Everyone say daily. Daily celebrate grace. You hearing this? Daily celebrate grace. Don't ever stop celebrating grace. Because listen to this. We can never behave ourselves out of hell into heaven. That's not going to happen. It would never happen. Why? Because our big problem is us. We are the big problem. It's that if we need to be saved, we need to be saved from us. We're the biggest danger to ourselves. Listen to me now. We cannot ever, say it again, behave ourselves out of hell into heaven. It would never happen, never, because our big problem is us. The thing we need saved from is us. The thing we need to be rescued from is us. The thing we need to be protected from is us. We are the problem. We've always been the problem to God. That's why in his grace and mercy, he loved us and died for us. Praise God that he did. David says this in confession. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Then he says, create in me a clean heart. Here's what I'm saying. God, it's me. It's my heart. It's my nature. I am the problem. And so the only hope for us is that God would reach down into the muck of our iniquity and lift us out by his grace. That's the only hope. The only hope for humanity is grace. We can say it all day long in a word, grace. Jesus had to be willing to come. He had to suffer all through all of those years on earth. He had to be willing to face the cross. He had to live a righteous life. He had to be the sacrificial lamb. He had to conquer death, because sinners cannot behave their way out of sin. Won't happen. They must be rescued, hallelujah, by powerful, rescuing, forgiving, transforming grace. Our only hope is that one thing called grace. Now, would you stand with me this morning? Keep reminding yourself of what is important, church. God is important. God's reign is important. God's glory is important. God's redemption is important, and His grace is important. So, dear ones, remind yourself again and again and again what is important. I want to give you this. Hear this. Surround yourself with people who remind you of what really matters and what is important. And I simply pray that we will be a church that lays before our people the truths of what matters, of what is important. These teachings in Scripture, they are inescapable. There is final judgment. There's a place of eternal torment called hell. But, hallelujah, the only hope for humanity is the glory of the rescuing grace of Jesus Christ. And there is a home in glory for those who believe, for those who are called according to His purposes, called heaven. The sheep welcome, the goats depart from me. Father, in these couple of moments together this morning, may this be a reality check perhaps for one or two of us, Lord. And maybe some are hearing for the very first time or for a long time the consequences of sin-led lives and what that can look like for us. We're delighted, Lord, that You've made a way for us. But we also know there is the other way, which is our way, which leads to doom and separation. So, Lord, we rejoice, hallelujah, that because of the cross and because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that You made a way of escape for us. You have given us a hope and a glory in eternity, to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts to receive communion today, if we need to examine some of the stuff that we have believed and bought into being okay, would You put that spirit of repentance in us this morning? Would You convict us right where we stand, right where we are? Perhaps, Lord, You're saying to some, hey, it's time to clean up. It's time to have a clean heart and pure hands once again before Me. It's time to reshape or remodel the way you've been living your life and what you've been allowing into your life. This is not judgment or condemnation. This is love. This is love that wants the church to win and be all it can be for Christ Jesus. So today, pause in our morning. Stop. Stop thinking about this afternoon. Stop now and take a moment. Take a moment. Get serious with God. This is not flimsy, wishy-washy. This is truth. This is real stuff. This is life and death. This is what makes you or breaks you. It's what takes you on or takes you back. It's real stuff. See, when you get serious for God, the enemy enemy comes like a flood against you, immediately tries to test you in that area where you have gained victory already. So, Father, I pray this morning in Jesus' name, where there's been habitual sin, where there's been ongoing difficulty, in the name of Jesus, I pray you begin to break that off, Lord. I pray you give people the strength and the power and the Holy Spirit to see the chains fall away, the chains of habit, the chains of addiction, the chains of falling back into the same trap. And we know what they are, Lord. So in the name of Jesus, we say, Satan, you're under our feet this morning. We remind you, that's your place. We call upon the authority of heaven in Jesus' name. The power of the risen Savior in Jesus' name. To put boldness and strength back into our mortal bodies so once again we'd be supernatural. And have the power and the fire and the spiritual guts to say no more. I am God's child. I'm going to ask Debbie and Tim, Corrine, Danny, I'm going to come to elders, and we're going to serve you in communion today. I'm going to serve these guys first and bless them. I appreciate them. Hallelujah. Don't lose sight now. Today we're going to play a track in the background just so that the worship team can be part of communion today as well. Then they'll come when they've been served and begin to lead us a little bit. Now always remember something. This is not about anyone else but you and Jesus. It's not about the person behind you or front of you. It's because you've got an inkling they may not be as perfect as you. It's not about them. Because what you're revealing there is pride. It's a moment between you and the Lord. Scripture says Jesus took a piece of bread, broke it and blessed it and says, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. In the same manner also, Jesus took a cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant.
Savior alone carried the cross for all of my death, paid the cost. salvation complete. Now forever I'm free. Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame don't count anymore. All praise to the one who has ransomed my soul. Calvary covers it all. No power on earth, not even the grave, can separate us. Mercy and grace, He's faithful to save. Oh, His blood never fails. Calvary covers it all. Oh, Calvary covers it all. My sin and shame.
Thank you, God.